Welcome to sit in the front. See, Daniel and Claire has got their seats reserved from now on. I like it. This is the first class seats, you know that. So you pay more for that. You got to pay 20% instead of 10%. That's how I think people sit at the back there. They're afraid. Don't worry. Just on a practical note for next week with the Family Sunday, we didn't mention it, but we will provide the briar hout or wood. But as long as you just bring your own chair and an umbrella and obviously your own food, make sure if you invite somebody that you spoil them for the day. So tell the friend, you know, I'll supply the food, just come with me. Okay, and then by the way, the pudding will be the church. So just reverse the order as well. So we have pudding first, we come to church, and then we have the fellowship afterwards. So that's the idea of the whole Family Sunday thing, is to invite new people and to introduce them to us as family, but also for us to have a bit of fellowship. So we were meant to go to the swimming pool, but I had a lot of calls of people panicking about not getting, couldn't swim and all of that. So, and I'm not Baywatch, you know, we haven't got Baywatch stars here. So, so I'm not David Hasselhoff, you know, running around there with my Speedo. So I thought I'll just call it a day. So, okay, but no, it's just, that's just a white lie. Okay, and I'll confess that right now. They didn't call me, but it's just availability. So we decided to move it to the Lapa, which is just as nice out there. Believe me, you'll have a nice view. I'll live there with the Springboks, okay? You're not allowed to bring a gun, okay? That's the only condition. So you can just view, you know, and then go again, please. That's our territory there, where our Springboks live. All right, turn with me this morning to Ephesians 3, verse 10. If you've got your Bibles here, I've got it up on the screen there as well. Ephesians 3, chapter from verse 10. Verse 10 says this, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. And that's as far as we're going to read today. The message, or the name of my message this morning is The Tide Will Win. And by the time I get through the service, you will know why I say the tide will win, seeing that we live here at the sea. But I just want to say in introduction, you know, that what's happening to you and me and to our lives is not just by chance. It's not luck. It's not karma. What goes around comes around and all these kind of philosophies. But it happens according to the eternal purpose of God, as God predestined, as he called you. Ephesians 4:10, I think, says that, as he created us, he called us to good works. But Paul was writing here, and he spoke to the men of Athens. And he actually, in Acts 17, he spoke to the men of Athens, quoting a poem for one of their famous gods. And he said, "For in him we live and move and have our being, and also some of our own poets have said." You know, I don't normally preach from a poem, but this morning I'm going to be the one, you know, that's preaching and laying that as a foundation. Well, like I said, when I get through the message, you will probably understand. But it goes like this. On the coral reef, the breakers recall in shattered foam. Yet still the sea behind them urges its forces on. Its chance of triumph surges through all the thunderous dance. The wave might break in failure, but the tide is sure to win. Almighty sea, thy messages is true in God's plan. It matters not at last how wide the shores, how evil or how strong the reef of sin. The wave may be defeated, but the tide is sure to win. You know, I walked in the jetty just during this week, and I believe all of you have been there. And then you would see how the waves would come in, you know, and then crash against those pillars underneath you. And you suddenly just feel so small. But it's like a picture that this writer of this poem try to create. When you stand on the shoreline or on the sea, on the beach, you would see, look at the vast sea, and you see all these mighty waves coming, roaring in against these rocky shores or against the rocks. And it's almost like these rocks would stand in defiance there, and then the waves would come against them, to crush them. You see the one after the other coming in, you know. And the wave would come, and almost when you see that through the eyes of life, you know, well, the wave would come in and try to crush against or crush that rock, and then the wave is being crushed, you know, and it's just a white foam and silvery ray of spray. And then the next one would come in, almost bigger, thinking, you know, this time I'm going to crush this rock, or this time I'm going to get you. And then almost to be shattered again against that rock. You know, it's almost like the writer said, sometimes it feels that if we look at the life or at life, at the shoreline of life and of sin and what's happening around us, we feel like waves, that we're not making a difference, that we are shattered and that we are like a wave on the sea. And I don't know where you find yourself today, but many times we feel alone. But the Lord, well, the writer is saying this morning, irrespective of what's happening and irrespective of how big the rock might be, and you feel like this little wave just coming in, and you've got good intentions, and you feel sometimes like you're shattered against the rock, that we have to remind ourselves that we are part of a bigger thing, the ocean. And then irrespective of what's happening, that the tide is sure to win eventually. What am I saying to you this morning with the tide? The tide represents the eternal purpose of God in our lives. And you and me are here like waves many times, you know. We're not sure, you know, our wave is coming in. We try our best and we get our dreams in line, or we receive a word from the Lord and then we pursue that. And then we came, be crushed against a rock, or maybe you're struggling, you're struggling to get breakthrough for certain sins or certain things, and you feel like you just can't break through. But I want to say to you this morning that even if it feels like your wave crashed, that the tide is sure to win. And if you know what I'm talking about, the tide eventually will go over the rock, you know. Maybe you've gone through a season where you failed, where you felt, you know, I'm just not worthy. That's what Satan comes to try and say to you. You know, you cannot make it. You will never be able to do that. But I'm saying to you this morning that the tide is sure to win if you keep be connected to the eternal purpose of God. The enemy says to you, you are a failure. You will mount up to nothing. You're not capable of that. Then you remind him that I'm not a little wave on my own. I'm part of the ocean. I'm part of the bigger plan of God. And even these bad things, even these moments when it felt like I've been crashed against that mighty rock, that I'm still part of the ocean and the tide is sure to win. You know, Jesus said this to Peter in Matthew 16:18. He said, and you know it all, and I also said to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against that. And if we remind ourselves this morning that God is busy with the work in us, you know, and that nothing what the enemy will come and throw against us, like he says in John 10:9, that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have came to give life and life in abundance. John 10:10, by the way. That is what Jesus wants to do in your life. And many times it felt like Satan came to steal, and he just, you know, you look at what we experience and all these things, and it feels like we're that wave that crashed against that rock. But then I'm saying again, the tide is sure to win if we hang in there and we wait. You know, we cannot judge something just upon what we see right now. If God is still busy with us, if God is still busy with a person, we are not called to judge and say it's too late. God is still busy, and that finish or that work has not been done yet. And God is still the author of that, and He's also the finisher of that. If we see through it, if we wait, if we hang in there, we will see that the tide will eventually win. We are just called not to give up. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Those who love Him, the Word says in Romans 8:28. In other words, everything that's working, that's been thrown at you, the bad stuff that's been thrown at you, the times, the moments when you feel like that little wave that crashed against that rock, even those moments God used to make it together, to work it together for good, for the benefit and for the growth of your own spiritual growth. You know, if we can get hold of this idea, if we know that defeat is not in the is not in the vocabulary of God, and that God has already won the war, then we are unstoppable. Then we know we can just march forward because the price has already been paid. Jesus already overcame. You know, it's not we win the battle, it's those who win the war. Okay? So it feels to you many times like, you know, I lost the battle just now. And my wave just came in, and I was determined this time I'm going to overcome this alcoholic problem, or this time I'm just going to get rid of this pornography, or whatever it might be. And then only you feel like your wave just crashed against, you know, the rock. And then you have to remind yourself again, Lord, I'm connected to your eternal purpose. You're still busy with me. I strengthen myself. I might feel like that one, you know. I might have lost the battle, but you already won the war, and I'm going to tap into that, and I receive the power. I used the illustration in the first service, so I'll use myself as an example again. My brother, he was here last week, and he wouldn't like me showing or saying this example. It's hard for a man to admit those things, but when I was just a little boy, me and my brother, he's a year younger than me, I'm the oldest, we used to box, you know, fight, you know, but just for his boys, you know, as we play. And then he usually would hit me. I'm the older one, but the softer heart, if you could put it that way. He's the man, you know. And I would cry. And one day my dad said, now this is enough now. Okay, I'll get you some gloves. And then today we settle this thing, you know. You are capable of beating him. That day I won the war. And it never happened again, you know. Now he doesn't want to admit that. But that's the truth. If you can realize that Jesus already did that for you and me, you know, we do not have to stand in defeat and just accept that the things that's coming against us, that the times when the waves feel like they're crashing around us, that God is in control and the tide is sure to win. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:25-27 says this, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who puts all things under him is accept it. You know, many times it feels like those failures are just too much for me. I will never be able to overcome this. I will never be able to get there where God has called me to be. And my wave keeps coming in. And the next time I just wake up every morning with a new enthusiasm. And next time I'm coming to church with new enthusiasm. And then the wave comes again. It's the rock. And it crashes against the rock. And then I'm going back, you know, again, head down. But the tide is sure to win if we hang in there. That's why we can praise him, even in the moments when we don't feel like it, when he feels to you that everything around me, the circumstances, everything around me is just saying the opposite. Paul and Silas were in that situation where they were in jail, chained. And you might be in a jail right now, chained to the circumstances of life. And it feels to you, you know, I'm just so heavy and loaded and nothing changes. And I'm like this wave shattering or being shattered. God says the tide is sure to win. If you can learn to praise him in those moments when you feel like there's nothing to praise him for, then we just continue to praise him, you know. And then eventually God sends his earthquake angel. And the doors fling open and the earthquake comes, you know, and our shackles break off our feet. Or wherever the burden is being lifted, because we understand one thing, and that's to praise God in the midst and irrespective of what life or how life is treating us. Not just when we're up there on the mountain, when everything is well, when the bank balance is right and my health or everything is fine, you know. But we learn to praise God even in the bad times, in the moments when we are like that foam, watery foam, or if it's being just a silver spray of water, where your life feels like it broke into pieces. But the good news this morning is we're not alone. Apart from the fact that Jesus says that he's there. And like I shared last week, you know, when Jesus, or when we remind ourselves that God is at the bottom, you know, that I have faith for this and that I can go through this. We have also got a family. And if you just turn around or look next to you, you will see that's your brother or your sister. And that's why it's so important that we have home cells. Okay, so yeah, I preach on home cells now. That's my platform for home cells. No, it is there so that as we grow progressively in this church, and you will see this very soon happening, that you become intertwined, that you work yourself your way into this family. And home cells is one of those platforms which we create for people to become part of that, so that people can get to know you and you can get to know people. So that one day, maybe when this church is 500 people and your wave, you might be feeling like your wave is strong this morning, but there will come a day when that wave comes in against that rock and you feel like that wave crashed against that rock. And then you might be alone. I'm saying to you, become part of the family. Work your way in. Be like a, I don't know why I get this funny idea, like an earthworm, just goes in there in those places underground and work yourself into this family, you know, and get knitted and get submit to where you need to and become part of that family. But just as the word says in Ephesians 4:16, he says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In other words, it's a physical fact that every joint, okay, I'll ask Christine to come and preach this, but every joint comes and takes something from the body. I think that's common sense, you know, that each organ or each part needs the other one to function. So the one would give and the one and it will also take at the same time. And that's how it's working in the body at the same time. We both need something from each other, but we also need to give something from each other. And not just only in this church, not just only in this family, but also in the greater family here in Swakopmund. So we have a shofar joint, and we have a New Life joint, and we've got a Stad Mission joint, and that's Reform joint. We all sit around the table as long as we can see one thing, and that's the kingdom coming, God's kingdom coming. And if we can focus on that, we realize that we can help each other. We can sit around the table and build into each other's lives and receive from one another. And that's a blessed thing to have here. That's why we should always keep that in mind, that we are just something of something bigger. And we are just this little one part of the puzzle, you know. But like I said, and I have these illustrations, when you have children, you use that as a illustration. But like a children's, not a children's puzzle, sorry, they're only like 10 to 20 pieces. So we are just part of these bigger puzzles, you know, with the 30,000 or the big ones that took you about a few days just to complete. Our church and our joint is just something small. And if we can keep our eyes upon that and know, Lord, what we are doing is just a small part, but we're part of the bigger kingdom. Stefan is sitting here this morning. He's blessing us with playing drums for us. He's not in this church, but he realized that there's something greater than what he's serving or where his vision lies, you know. He's in another church, but he knows that we've got a need at the moment for a drummer. So now he's helping us out. And the Lord sees the heart which is like that. Sorry, stumble over my words this morning. When we know there's a bigger picture, it's not about my little individual way, me and my needs, and oh Lord, bless me. But God wants us to knit us together so that we can move stronger and stronger against the mighty rocks, you know. Scripture said that John the Baptist was that kind of man. You know, world fell apart, but God used him. God used him mightily. Well, everything was falling apart and it felt like the sin was just coming more and more rapidly in. God raised the John the Baptist up. And there might be sitting John the Baptist. There might be Samuel sitting here this morning. You know, when things were just falling apart and Israel was just falling completely in wickedness, God was already had a plan with a Samuel, with a John the Baptist. Back then, the children's church, they might be raising the next John the Baptist up and you wouldn't even know it. We might not see it in our lifetime, but it is sure to happen. The tide is to win. The only problem is many times our timing and God's timing, we get it wrong many times. The Lord said to Abram, you'll have sons, or your inheritance will be as many as the stars, of the number of stars. And they reckon when Abram died, he just saw about Jacob, you know. So Satan must have thought about it, you know. You're a loser. Look at what you've claimed. Look at what you've declared, that God said this over you. That God said your inheritance will be as much or as many as the stars. But today, the nation of Israel, just the nation of Israel, are more than 5 million. And Abram saw that when he died. Eventually, that came to pass. So I'm saying to you this morning, when you got a promise and God's saying this over your life, many times it takes a season of brokenness. It takes a season of just where God is just quiet, where he's just away, and it feels like you're on your own. You feel like you're that wave just coming in, and where is God? But remind yourself this morning that I'm part of the ocean. Remind yourself that I'm part of God's eternal purpose, that the tide is sure to win. We want instant gratification because we are that microwave generation, you know, serving a crockpot God that's taking time. And over the time, you know, God is busy forming our character. And God's eternal purpose for you and me is only, you know, accomplished over time. Sorry. So if we keep on hanging in there, God can do his work completely, like he says in Philippians 1 verse 6. In Job, we read, you know, the book of Job is the oldest book they reckon in the Bible, and it's filled with about, roughly, they reckon about 350 questions. Why so many questions in the book of Job? I tell you why, because life is full of questions. And Job, the book of Job is a book about life. And Job was one of those kind of men, you know, that maybe it fell to him the moment when everything crashed around him, when his wave came in against that rock. He lost his health. He lost his finances. He lost his family. He lost so many things. And he sat there, you know, and his friends came to counsel him. And then he had that bad spot where he starts asking the questions. Why, Lord? Why my health? Why my family? Why did, you know, why did I lose all my sheep? Why did I lose all this? Why did it happen to me? And then his friends came and they counseled him. They said, you know, it's because you sinned. And then Job would just start again questioning. And they would go, you know, we know it's because it's the judgment of God. But they were so wrong because they were not spirit-led. They went according to the principle of repatriation, which the Bible talks about, retribution. I'm stumbling there. Which means that if you are being obedient, you will be blessed. If you're not obedient, you will be cursed. This is how their box thought like, you know. But they were not led by the Spirit. What I'm saying to you is that many times when people around us or our waves crash and we feel like I can just give up, we should be sensitive and use discernment how we guide and counsel each other. Because we can act like his friends as well at the same time. We tell them, no, you know what? The reason why this happened to you is because you didn't, the Bible said in Leviticus, don't put any tattoos on here, you know. But you've got the tattoo on here, so now God is not going to bless you, you know. Or whatever it might be. We are not being led by the Spirit. God's got a plan this morning for your life. And if you hang in there, you'll see that come to pass. Just like he had a Samuel, the John the Baptist, everything. God's got that in place before you even thought about that. Before you even born, God had it in place. And the beauty about the little bit of church history that I want to share with you this morning is that in they reckon in the 587 BC, when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem, that day when they conquered Jerusalem and burned down the temple, that same day, Darius was born. Now, if you know church history, Darius was the man that eventually overcame Nebuchadnezzar. So God has already had a plan worked out. At that same time, when those kings came in to destroy Jerusalem, burning down the temple, the man that was eventually supposed to overthrow him was born on the same day. That's how God is working things out for you and me. So you might feel like you're in that moment when things doesn't make sense, my wave crashed, but God's already got the plan, like they had it with the Israelites, you know. The oases were already there. The palm trees were already there. They just had to be brought to there. It was planted even before they went into the desert. God had a plan in mind, just as he has got it for you and me. If we hang in there, we will see his word come to pass in our lives. Matthew 5:18 says this, for surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Okay, jot and tittle is just referring to the Hebrew words, the type of word, or letter, sorry, letter. So that's the smallest Hebrew letter. And Jesus is saying that everything will come to pass if we just hang in there. Noah was a man. God gives him a command and say to him, build this ship or this ark. You know, then Noah was just obedient to God and just continued doing that. Think about that. God spoke to him once, and then he would for 120 years just build something. I don't know about you, but I would have somewhere in the middle thought, you know, Lord, 120 years I have to build this thing every day. I have to wake up, you know, and we just did the coffee area, you know. That took us about 2 months, and I wouldn't tell you how I felt after a while, you know. I don't know how it's to take bigger projects on, you know. But Noah was that kind of man. He just kept on being faithful. Even though people around him maybe, you know, said to him, you're not going to make it now. What are you mad? What are you busy with? Not Noah. just kept coming in. And many times his wave might have crashed, but eventually the tide surely won in Noah's case, and the boat was on the water. If we had to interview Moses, the Lord says to him, Moses had the desire to go into the promised land, and then eventually dies without going into the promised land. But if you read the New Testament, you will know who appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, because eventually the tide won. Jeremiah was that kind of prophet, that he came to a place where he couldn't get people saved. And the word says he's the crying prophet. So Jeremiah's just crying, "I couldn't get people saved." I'm not going to try and cry, okay? Don't worry. I'm not the actor. And he gets to that place where he's just so desperate and down in the dumps. So I'm just going to give up this ministry work, and I'm just going to buy me a house in the desert, go in the hotel business. But the Lord says, hang in there. And today we've got the word of Jeremiah. And the Israelites, they didn't listen to that, but the tide eventually won. I'm drawing to a close this morning. I don't know where you find yourself this morning. I don't know how life has treated you recently. It might feel like your wave came in and it crashed against the rock. But I want to remind you this morning that the tide is sure to win. If you keep on being connected to the eternal purpose of God, you will see those promises coming in. You will see that victory is on the shoreline, that eventually we all celebrate in that. Let's close our eyes this morning. Father, we just come to you this morning, and Lord, we just want to give you all these feelings. And many times, Lord, we felt alone. Many times we felt, Lord, like a little wave, Lord, that was just crashed against the mighty rocks of this life, Lord, and whatever it might represent in our lives this morning, Lord. Father, we just come to you this morning, and Lord, we just renew and remind ourselves this morning of your promises. We remind ourselves that we are part of the ocean. We remind ourselves that the tide is sure to win, and that eventually we will see victory. Eventually we will come to that place where we see and taste that you are good. Even at this moment, Lord, where we feel like Paul and Silas many times, Lord, where we are in the prison of life, Lord, and many things around us is not favorable. We remind us, Lord, that the doors will open one day, that the shackles will come off, Lord. But in the meantime, Lord, thank you for building our character. Thank you for releasing us on your time and doing a perfect work in our lives. We honor you for that this morning. We praise your name, Lord. That your word says in Philippians 1 verse 6, that the good work that you began in us, that you will take it unto completion until the day of Christ. And we receive that.